And I mean that. You know, some people say that and you wonder. You know. One time someone said to me, "Oh, I love you, Pastor Dave." I said, "You know, I love you too, but I really mean it." And they looked at me. Well, I don't know. How we doing? I grew up in a place in Southern California called Ventura. You ever heard of Ventura County? Yeah. And there was this little area that we lived, and it was between Ventura and Ojai, and it was called Foster Park. Amazing little place. Love that place. And as a kid, I had some good friends, and we played every day during the summer. I mean, just every day. And out on the park. And we would play Follow the Leader. You ever play that? Now, I had some crazy friends. Because we'd do things like, there'd be these little trees. And so we would dare you. You go up, you'd climb up the tree, and then clear up as you can to the top. And they were small and limber, and you would start rocking them. And you'd keep rocking them until you'd finally go down, and either it would bust or you'd go down to the ground and let go. Crazy stuff as a little kid. There was this bridge, and it had metal on both sides that went up over the bridge. And one guy said, "Follow me." Okay, so he got up on top of that. Now, he was nuts. But I followed him. And you know what? I couldn't stand. I had to crawl. Because you looked down, and it was a long ways down. You would have killed you. If my mom ever saw me, if she ever knew that. So don't tell her. Oh, she's in heaven. That's right. Well, one time, there was this mountain that we'd always go up. And one time, the guy was during the summer, and the guy says, "Okay, follow me." So we followed him down this trail that we'd been many times. And then the idiot decided to go into the brush. And he got on his hands and knees and would crawl through the brush, and we'd crawl through and just had a lot of fun. Well, the thing that we didn't realize is the brush that we crawled through was poison oak. You ever get poison oak? Oh. And I just remember getting it everywhere and walking like this. You know what I mean? Follow the leader can be very dangerous. Of course, Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me." And he says to us, "Follow me." And some people think that it's safe. Some people think that there's no danger. Some people think following Jesus that there's not going to be difficulties and problems and horrible things in their lives. But that's not true. Because when Jesus tells us to follow him, sometimes we go into dangerous places. Now, it is safe. And it is safe in the arms of God. If you understand what safety is in Jesus Christ, that means that if you die, you'll go and be with him for eternity. But here on earth, there could be dangers in following Jesus. Now, he calls the disciples, and Jesus begins to do incredible things. And in Mark 2 and 3, he's healing a lot of people. Many were healed, and it specifically talks about one that was healed, a man with a withered hand that Mike talked about. And he was doing incredible things like this to the point that people were thronging. I don't know how many thousands of people, but they were coming from everywhere because they saw these miracles take place. and they followed him. And they came to a place by the sea that they were pushing and pressing on Jesus so much because, you see, if I could just touch him, maybe he'll heal me. And so they were pressing in on him. And so he tells the disciples, get a boat, and he preaches from there. Now he's had a long day, a long few days, healing, people pressing on him, challenged by the Pharisees. He taught many of the parables in the third chapter. In the fourth chapter, toward the end, in the 35th verse, let's begin there. And on that day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. Have you ever had Jesus say anything like that to you? Has he ever said to you, come on, let's go? Come on, let's go, follow me. Or do you hear his voice? Are you attentive to what God might say to you? Because God wants to speak to you. I mean, the reality is that Jesus is real, and he's given you his spirit, and he wants to talk and have communion with you. And sometimes he'll say, hey, come on, let's go. I mean, have you ever been had a surge of energy and impressed in your heart and mind? Hey, I ought to go down to the store for something. Jesus, I just feel impressed to go down to the store. And you go there, and then Jesus leads you to someone to talk to about Jesus Christ. I mean, those kinds of things can happen all the time if you'll be attentive, because many times Jesus will say to you, come on, let's go. Come on, pick up your stuff. Come on, let's go. I've got work to do. I've got some things I want you to do. I have some people that I want you to talk about me. I want you to go down. I got this guy who's about ready to commit suicide, and he just needs someone to talk to and someone to encourage him. I mean, Jesus wants to talk to you that way and wants to lead you that way. Well, the disciples are all pumped. There are people everywhere that are coming. And now, you know, they're in the in crowd. I mean, they're somebody. And they kind of like what's going on. They believe in this Jesus to a certain extent. They believe in this man that is doing miracles, and they're going to follow him. And he says, come on, let's go to the other side. Well, now listen, to them, no big deal. They're in boats all the time. They're fishermen, many of them. And they've been to the other side many times. Come on, let's go. They're with Jesus. Come on, let's go. Now, Jesus is exhausted. I mean, and the calm before the storm that we're going to see take place was Jesus doing incredible things that people thronged to him, to hear him, and wanted to follow him. Not because they believed in who he was, but because of what he could do for them. Now, think about that. They followed Jesus not because of who he was, but what he could do for them. I hope you're not following Jesus for that reason. You say, well, how do you know that? Because in John, the 6th chapter, Jesus began to talk hard things to them, and they all left him. And Jesus said to his disciples, will you leave too? And they said, well, we don't have anywhere to go. We know that you're it, that you're the man, that you're the Christ. But at this point, there's exciting things taking place. They get in the boat. And it must have felt good to some of the disciples, like Peter, James, and John, to be in the boat again. You know, the feel of that. You fishermen, you know what it feels like when you get in the boat and you're going to go fishing. It just feels good. You got your feet on you again. You know, you're out in the ocean. Well, Jesus is exhausted, apparently, because he goes and he immediately goes to sleep. It's interesting what the Bible in Mark there says. In fact, let's just read it. In 36, and leaving the crowd, he took him with them into the boat, just as he was. Jesus, just as he was. He didn't go and get any other clothing or anything. Just as he was, he said, get a boat, let's go. And other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Where's the stern? Where's that? That's the back. Okay? Good. Some of you know boats and stuff. The terminology. And he's in the back. And it's interesting, and some of the scholars, when they talk about this, and how it is worded, that they said he is on a cushion. And this is what one guy said. He said, when they told stories, if it was fiction, when they told stories in that day, they wouldn't have any detail. They would just say things like, hey, he got in the boat, and the storm started to come up when they're on their way on the other side. But he said, in this case, you see a detail that is given. And he says, the only reason that this would be given is that it was true. Because they didn't make up stories like this. They didn't, in today's fiction, I mean, it's details, you can see it in your mind's eye. And it wasn't that way back then. They didn't give details, and they said, well, this was written that way because it really happened that way. And so Jesus is in the back. Was it the back? Was it the back? Okay, good. Jesus is in the back on a cushion, and he's sound asleep. He's tired. You know, Jesus got tired. You know, Jesus was truly man and truly God. He was truly man and truly God. His body got tired. And so he is sound asleep, and a storm comes up. Now these guys are used to storms. They've been on the sea many times. But this one is different. This storm is different. Verse 38 again. But it was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke up, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. So the storm comes up. Now listen, this wasn't any kind of storm. It was a great storm. It wasn't any minor thing, because these guys who had their sea legs, they knew they were in peril. And it even tells us that water is coming over into the boat. I can see them, you know, throwing it out, trying to stay afloat. And finally, they go to Jesus, who doesn't wake up. What's wrong with him? Well, he's tired. Sound asleep, and they wake him up. And they say something very interesting to me that I think that we have said in our life. And maybe we didn't say it out loud, but we wondered it. Don't you care? What's going on with me? Where are you? Don't you see my peril? Don't you see what's going on? I am devastated. I am messed up inside. I am dying inside. The storm that was coming in your life that seemed to overtake you and disturb you and to bother you and to just mess you up inside. That storm, the storm of life. Let me tell you, every one of us have had storms like that. And if you haven't, oh, I'm sorry, because it's coming. And don't think that you have so much faith that you'll never feel desperate. Everyone here that knows Jesus Christ has a certain amount of faith. But don't feel bad toward people who are weak in their faith. because faith is a gift. And there's some who just has been given more faith than others. So when you have such great faith, don't feel proud of yourself and don't look down at other people. We can grow in our faith, but it is a gift that God gives his people. And so they're desperate now. They wake him. Don't you care? Don't you care about us? They weren't worried about him. They're worried about themselves. Don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to perish here? And Jesus wakes up, and in this storm, he says, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." I don't know quite how to say this. But just him saying that is so different than they would have been used to and that we would be used to. And what I mean by that, when it comes to the miraculous, Jesus didn't have a staff to touch the water. He didn't need a staff. Jesus didn't call upon God the Father. And he told us and taught us how to call upon the Father. But he didn't say, "Father." He just said, "Peace, be still." The wind, peace. And it dies down. But it says a great calm came over immediately, this great calm. And what happened, it wasn't just the wind dying down, you know, and as the oceans doing, or the seas doing this, and water's coming inside, just all of a sudden, it was just calm. Have you been to Detroit? Early in the morning, you get up, Detroit Lake I'm talking about, and you get up and you look out there and the water's just calm. It's just perfect. The wind later on comes up and starts riffling, or moving the lake there, but it's just beautiful and calm. Then some dumb skier comes by and ruins it all. Well, this sea, in verse 39, it says, "And there was a great calm." Something had happened that was so unusual, because they heard of Moses, they heard of other great people doing miracles, but there was nothing that he conjured up. He didn't call upon God the Father. He didn't do any of those things. He didn't use a staff. He just said, "Be still. Be still." And a calm came over. And then he says to his disciples, and he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" They found themselves in a place of absolute fear that began to come over them. Listen to this. "And they were filled with great fear." They were afraid before, but now the storm after the calmness was inside of them, this incredible fear that came over them, because they wondered, who in the world is this that could just speak? And the wind stopped, in the ocean, or the sea quit, and was a great calm. How can this be? Who is this guy? And it says that they became so incredibly fearful. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let me ask you something. Do you see God? Do you see Jesus as God? Do you see all power given unto him? Do you see him as someone who can do anything? Now he loves you dearly. But I think that there needs to come over us this kind of an awesome fear of, oh, who is this? This is really God. Now listen, I always cringe when people make Jesus a buddy. He's not a buddy. He's your friend. But he's not a neat dude and not a dude. He's just not. He's God. And they got a glimpse of this. Who is this guy? Now, Jesus died for your sins. But I think there needs to be an incredible respect, if I could put it that way, an awesome respect for who he is. All-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent. This is God made flesh. And he died for our sins. You're going to have storms in your life. But let me tell you what will help you in these storms. Knowing who he is, that he's God. And that he can, with just a word, be still. Look at these scriptures that I have in your notes. I want to just read the four of them there. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was God. In Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed to be heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance and the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by his power. Colossians. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And then the last one, 1 Corinthians 8. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, and from whom we all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Now, God, Jesus Christ, is all-powerful. And you're a believer in Jesus. The storms come in life. What do you do with that? What do you do with the storms when they come? And it seems to be overwhelming to you. Do you have the same attitude of the disciples? Hey, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? Now, we all get to that place. But we got to come back to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, he cares for you, and he cares about every detail of your life. He cares about everything that you go through, and he doesn't want you to suffer, but sometimes you suffer, but then he makes something good out of that that only God can do. He is all Mighty God. So what do you do with that? He's Almighty God. I'm suffering. I'm going through this turmoil. My heart is so messed up. Well, you need to conjure up some faith, if I could use that. That's probably a bad term to use. But somehow you need to fix your eyes upon Jesus. You need to cry to him, God, God help me, God help me. Now that might seem simple, but it's amazing that even in Christianity, how few people do that. That when the storm comes, they find other things to bring a peace. I don't blame you if you take sleeping pills. I don't judge that. But are you crying out to God? I don't judge you for sitting down and watching your favorite show to get away and escape a little bit. I don't judge that. But are you crying out to God? Are you saying, my God, help me, God, help me, God, help me? You say, but I'm weak in faith. Oh, I know that. And God's going to, I think God is almost going to make sure that all of us get to a point in our life at some point that our faith is not strong enough so that he can show his hand in your life. That we cry out to God, God, help me, where are you, what's going on? I don't understand this thing. I can tell you stories in the middle of the night waking up. Actually, not too recent, it's been a while, I guess. And waking up and praying, God, God, I'm worried about this. God, I'm worried about that. God, I'm bothered. And praying to him, seeking him, but it's got a hold of my heart. You know what I mean? I'm struggling with it. I have faith, but I'm weak in faith that everything's going to be, there isn't the calm that I'm looking for. You know, help me take away this thing so I can have the calm in my heart. You know, say to me, God, be still. Do something, God, because in my heart, I am messed up. And this has happened more than once. A day later or two or three days later, when everything's calm and there's peace in my heart, I'll go to the Father, go to Jesus, and I'll say, and I've said this many times, God, forgive me in my weakness. You know I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, forgive me for not trusting you. You have proven yourself over and over and over again to me, and here I am. Not trusting you, and worried and bothered, wringing my hands. It was a few years back, I'll never forget. For some reason, I did this thing when I'm really nervous. You do that? If you see me doing it, come and pray for me. Because I'm worried about something. I don't know if I got this. When I was in the Army, there was this mentally ill guy. And I'll never forget it. We were in a barracks and everybody was teasing this kid who had been to Vietnam. But it messed him up in his head. And he was doing this. And they were laughing and carrying on. And I felt sorry for him, but I picked that up. And when I would do this, because I'm worried about something, I would chuckle a little bit and think, oh, I'm mentally ill. And it was just a few years back, I was doing this, and Pam says, David, yeah. She goes, you're doing this. Now, I don't know what you do. And I don't know if you get uptight, and you blame your spouse for things that happen, but you're just stressed. And you're hurting inside, and you're bothered inside, and you're struggling inside. And then it seems like we always take it out on the ones that we love the most. Well, don't do that. It'd be better for you to just, you know what I mean? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This God, this Jesus Christ, is the very one that spoke things into existence. He's the creator. We've just read that in the different verses. Nothing exists without him. He's the one that said, let there be light. And there was light. Now think about that. He didn't have any cantation. He didn't have to read in a book. He didn't have to do anything else. He just spoke into existence. Something that never existed before, he just brought it into being, light. And let me tell you, where it seems like there's no hope for you, when the storm comes, you seek his face. Because let me tell you something. If he says to you, come on, let's go to the other side, you're going to make it to the other side. Do you know what I mean by that? If he says, follow me, hey, we're going to go do this, he's going to make sure that you do that. I mean, if they hadn't woke Jesus up, they would have all died, and Jesus would have resurrected from the dead, picked up the boat, and they would have gone to the side. I'm playing. God can do anything in your life that needs to be done if you just call upon him. If you say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, bring me to that place. And he says, peace, be still in your life. Worship team, come on up. Where are you in your life? You know, maybe right now you're in a place that you don't have any kind of storm brewing. Who's here to say, man, I'm not one of those, I have a storm in my life. Can I share your hand? Let me just put it up. Yeah, okay. So this stuff is real. It is real to us. And we're part of a family. And we have people around us that care about every detail, or that care about our lives. Jesus cares about every detail of our lives. Well, we have people that care for us, that love us. And the turmoils of life are so real. I want you to think with me. Now, there are many who raised their hands. And maybe you're not going through anything right now, and you know, I hate to say it, I won't speak things into your life, but you'll go through some things. I had a friend tell me recently, man, I don't like what I'm going through right now. Wasn't anybody in the church. It's just rough. It's just rough. And we prayed together, and he's still going through it. But those are real things in a person's life. Hey, wake him up. Wake Jesus up. Now, you don't need to do that, but you do need to call upon him. You do need to say, God, I need you. God, help me. God, come, increase my faith, strengthen me, help me to be an overcomer. Let's stand as we sing this song.
As one, hallelujah.
most of us here, we're in the boat with Jesus Christ. And sometimes, you know, the storms and the wobbling and even the waves that seem to come in, and you panic a little bit. But He's God. He's all-powerful. And He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you might be here this morning, and you've never really gotten in the boat. You've seen the boat, and people have told you about this boat in Jesus Christ. They've told you about Jesus, but you've never really gotten in. You're just watching. Would you get in the boat? Would this be the day that you would say, hey, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, no matter what? I've been watching these people. I've been seeing things. And I'm beginning to believe in this Jesus Christ, and I want to get in the boat. Would you bow your head for a moment? Who is here that say, hey, I want to get in the boat? Would you put your hand up just real quick? Thank you, thank you. Yeah. Okay, yeah, old man. Yeah. Several hands. Father, I pray for these that have heard about You, but they want to know You, Lord, in such an intimate way. And they want to follow You. And I pray, God, that You would get a hold of their heart. Pray that by Your Spirit, that the very desire that You've placed within their heart to raise their hand, that You want to do a great work by Your Spirit in their heart, that they would follow You. They'd get in the boat with Jesus Christ. Touch their lives. Touch their lives. That even today, that as they walk out of this building, there'd be something of the Holy Spirit that would bring about a change and a desire within them like they've never had to follow You and to cry out to You. And Lord, I pray for those of us who are in the boat, but there's some here this morning who the storm in their life is raging so strong. And they're even wondering, God, where are You? What's going on? And they don't know the purpose or what's happening. Lord, I pray for some that You would calm the sea. And that You would speak and say, be still. I pray for others that I know that You have something in store and in mind for them, that You want to build their faith. So may they find themselves leaning on You, calling out to You for help and strength and faith. Do incredible work. So I pray for a blessing on everyone that raised their hands. The ones who are in the boat and the ones who want to get in the boat. That by Your Holy Spirit, You would do things that no man can do. That by the Holy Spirit, You would speak in a way that no man could speak by words, by a message or a sermon. But You speak to those hearts. And we thank You in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Listen, you're dismissed. Lord bless you. Love one another before you go.